You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
On tonight's show, we received an in-depth Aachen report from Patty Mayer, from vaulting to dressage, juniors to five-star Grand Prix. Next, we chat with Jenny Carroll about the National Pony Cup. And last but not least, we speak with Jessica Niles on dressage, rider, fitness, and health. This is Reese Koffler Stanfield in Georgetown, Kentucky.
And I am Megan McIsaac from Oregon, Wisconsin, and you're listening to the Dressage Radio Show. Hey, Reese.
Hi, Megan. How are you?
I am living the dream.
I love that. What's going on? We were chatting this morning. I mean, you guys, it was a Monday here. You know when your toilet breaks first thing Monday morning, it's going to be a day.
Definitely a day, but I didn't have a day like yours.
I did text you. We were laughing. We were getting the show and chatting about the show, and then I was like, "It's gonna be a Monday." My toilet just yeah, for sure.
I just was running around like a chicken with my head off, as all you know, running a business. Monday, the weekend was insane. We've had massive storms. We've had flooding in the arena, but we've also had really good things in that. We have a lot of farm projects. I mean, we are getting a lot done here on the farm. So we're building sun huts and an awning to prevent flooding. And so it's really fun. You know how to grow your empire. It's a lot of fun.
Grow an empire. And welcome to owning a farm, right? That is the best advice once I got owning a farm is like, you're never going to be done. You're
never,
ever done. So just at some point you finish your day and you go on with it. So some days I do that. I just look around. I'm like, okay, yep. Time to finish.
Now yeah. The burning question is the toilet fixed?
No, but we're working. not cause I also haven't had time. My husband's been on call all day, but we will get it fixed today. My sister, very thankfully, which I didn't know. Well, actually I knew Tractor Supply had some toilet supplies. So I did tell my sister, I was like, she happened to be going to Tractor Supply pick up grain this morning. And I was like, I have a massive favor. I need a $6 part. It would change my life in many ways. So it was very good. Teamwork makes the dream work. Shout out to my sister, Lindsay, on her way to, and Tractor Supply for having some toilet supplies. So yeah, but
awesome.
It was also a good day. Same thing with Monday. Same thing around here. It was busy. And I think we're all there. I mean, it's the depths of summer, the dog days, and it's quite hot here. We're also having a lot of storms. So we're making do and, you know, I'm turning out quite late now, which is fine. It's nice. I live here on the property, so it's not a big deal. And horses seem to like that better. So all is well. So, but yeah, we have a horse show this weekend. I'm really looking forward to that. Yeah. I'm taking Rocky, back, to it won't be our training level debut anymore. This will be our second show. So that'll be super fun. I'm just doing one day, which will be good. I like that. He's spending the night. So by the end of that day, which is his second day, he seems to be pretty tired. So we're building our muscles for that. So that'll be fun. So we have our KDA show and there's also an event this week. So also a very busy week, kind of getting everybody ready to rock and roll.
I'm going to a horse show too. This is awesome that we're going together. So I'm going to be texting you.
We'll be texting. We'll be like, how's it going? No, I love it. Yeah, it's good. You know, it's fun. It's fun to take a baby again. We chatted in the last couple shows, but I really try to just not have a lot going on so that I can kind of do my thing, which is really nice. So it should be fun. It should be really fun. So
is Mama K coming?
No, she can't come to this one, which is a bummer. I have my wonderful farm manager, Miss Lori. She's going to come and help me. So, again, you got to have pretty good hands. And my new assistant, she's learning how to braid and all that kind of stuff. So she's going to be on there too. So we'll be in good shape. And so it'll be really fun. So I hope you also, where are you going this weekend?
We are going to Sorensen in Wisconsin, and we're going to do second and third level with my sale horse. So I'm pretty excited to get him back out again and just see if we can clean some things up.
Have some fun. Like you said, last time you were like, Risa had fun at a horse show. And I was like, the words of I don't even know. So that was a joke. I was like, Megan, I'm going to go to a horse show for fun.
I know. It's nuts. I really had the best time.
Yeah.
Probably because I owned him. There was no pressure. I had no expectations. And I still have no expectations. Second horse show, we're just going to have fun and just, see if we can get a better score, because obviously he's for sale and everybody wants a 70 and he's definitely capable of it. But the main point is just to go out and have fun.
Yeah, I know. You and I are literally in the same boat, and it's it's really fun to do that. So I hope you have a great time. And I don't know if this will be available on USTF, but we had an amazing book club chat, didn't we?
We did. And Ribbons is amazing.
Champion.
Amazing.
Her if book you get a chance,
fabulous.
Yeah. If you're listening to podcasts, you probably heard her on the podcast, but it was awesome for the USDF webinar. We interviewed her again, which was so fun because we had more questions and it was great. I hope you get a chance and can go back and watch. It was great. I know they're available on the USDF website. So please enjoy that. We had such a great time. And that's one of the things, that's a perk we get, is to be able to do the book club, which is pretty awesome.
And a big shout out to Amy. It was her second
Amy
webinar.
Evelyn, USDF.
She's working really hard to make that a success, and it really showed. So thank you. And to Evie. So thank you.
Yeah, and to every Lindsay Own, she's wonderful. So we're really thankful to USDF for all the support with the book club, and obviously you guys too. But please get, if you get a chance, listen to our interview, our first one on the pod here, and then again on USDF. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Well, we've got a great show. We're going to tell you a little bit about Nalox Advance. Is your horse suffering from digestive tract issues such as diarrhea, colic, or hindgut imbalances? Does he need a high grain diet? Is he under stress? Nalox Advance can help. Nalox Advance is scientifically formulated of ingredients that work synergistically to maintain healthy stomach, small intestine, and hindgut. And it supplies broad spectrum probiotics to sustain a healthy balance of beneficial microbiomes and well-maintained microbiome. For more information, visit kppusa.com or call 859-873-2974. Well, tonight we are so excited to have our favorite guest back. Okay, we like everyone, but we really like Patty Mayer. Patty Mayer, international rider, trainer, and has become our foreign correspondent.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the show, Patty.
Thank you. I love being like the traveling reporter. It's excellent.
You are our traveling reporter. Seriously. I mean, you did the Olympics for us now, and now you are fresh back from Aachen, Germany. How was it? I almost jumped on a plane. You had me.
I know. I was so bummed you didn't come. It was so much fun. So here's just, a little bit about our group. So our group was me, one of my students, his name is Nicola Karp, who's great. And then a junior I have, whose name is Emma Snyder, who's a spectacular rider. Hate her forever. And her mom, whose name is Uta. Emma and Uta are German. Well, they're dual citizens and bilingual. Yay. And not that you needed it, but it was nice. And then a friend of mine whose name is Tegan Kozowitz, she couldn't come, but her husband popped on a plane. So she's clearly indoctrinated him into dressage.
I love that. That's so
really
cool.
Fun, wacky group. And a very smart group, which is also kind of helpful. So just the background, we flew into Frankfurt, saw Conrad, then
Schumacher. Conrad Schumacher. Yes. Where Patty and I met many years ago.
Right.
Saw the Zen Master.
And Ellen Boncha, who was a Dutch team rider for many years. She rode in at least two, and I want to say three Olympics, plus the World Games, plus the World Cup, blah, blah, blah. And our other friends from the time Reese and I spent in Germany together 3 million years ago.
Yeah.
And then we went up to Aachen, and we were staying in this kind of funky kind of live workspace in the middle of Aachen. And then we went to the CHIO, which is kind of extraordinary. It's in the middle of town. It's not in the middle of town, but it's in the middle of sort of an industrialish area. Yeah. It's ginormous. So it's sort of where the town meets the country. It's ginormous. And it really is a bespoke horse facility that they rent out for other things when they're not using it for this one event or horse event. And they have a jumping arena that I have no idea how many people it fits at one time.
It's probably one of the biggest in the world.
I know that 250,000 people show up to this show over the course of the week.
Yeah.
It starts with an indoor thing with vaulting, which unfortunately starts before the opening ceremony. So we didn't get to see any vaulting, which always bums me out. And then there is this huge jumping arena, a cross-country for a three-day event, which they also use. So they also use for the four-in-hand cross-country, which is amazing. There's a four-in-hand arena, which is grass. The jumping arena is grass. And then there's a bespoke dressage court, by the way, with warm-ups for everything and permanent stabling.
Yes.
And then about 1.5 zillion vendors.
The shopping's incredible. You've never seen anything like it.
Yeah, the shopping's incredible. It's not so diverse, I would say, the shopping. The food is actually really good and super reasonably priced.
Yes.
And the tickets are reasonably priced.
Yes.
And it doesn't cost that much to get an Airbnb in Aachen.
Yes.
It's way less expensive than going most places. I mean, I get opera tickets. The 5 days at Aachen was less than an opera ticket. I mean,
wow. Yeah.
Really reasonable.
Yes. They keep it very reasonable.
And you see, I assume what they do is charge the vendors a crap load of money, but because the vendors do very well, it is packed. It's wall to wall to wall people shopping horse things.
Yes.
You do have to sort of run down elderly humans, with walkers, and you have to sort of run down children in strollers. But assuming you're willing to do that, you can get from one place to another.
And Patty, can I interrupt? When should we start planning the trip? So like, let's say I want to go next year.
Good
idea.
Well,
next year it's the WAG. So I would start planning now. Okay. I bought my tickets on either the day before or the day before Christmas or the day of Christmas or the day after. And I got like literally the last seats in the dressage stadium.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Which were great. By the way, the dressage stadium is tiny. So, I mean, it's like—
Comparatively, it's still big. Bigger than most venues.
Yeah, but if you go to the, like, it's not as big as the LA Equestrian Center indoor arena. It's not, I mean, it's.
I have the numbers in front of me. The jumping is 40,000 and the dressage is 6,300.
Okay, there you go.
You are close, though. I mean, we were in the last row and you could see everything. I mean, you could see, the rider's expressions, and I don't have the best eyesight in the world anymore, even with my bifocals. You could see you could wave to your friends all the way across and on the other side.
Oh,
and
you
could see them. I mean, it's not just like waving to a little flag. Like, we were closer in the 14th row of the dressage stadium than I was in the second row of the Olympics.
Oh.
A lot closer. Interestingly, while I've heard that it's a very buzzy stadium, almost all the horses seemed very comfortable there. It's it's obviously a very educated group of people. So it's a quite a large venue. You have to walk, get good shoes, because you can also see everyone warming up. You can see the jumpers warming up, the eventers warming up, the forehand warming up, which is fun. You can see all of that stuff. Let me go really fast through the types of riding the types of stuff we saw, and then we'll go to dressage. Sound right?
Yeah.
Go rock on, girl.
Okay, go. So missed vaulting, which makes me sad because I love vaulting. There is no para dressage, shame on them. But there is so, but the four in hand is crazy.
Yeah.
So we saw that we saw the dressage part of it and we saw the cross country part of it.
Cool.
Awesome. The people who do it are phenomenal.
It's just, oh, it's insane. It's
so hard.
And you're drinking a cup of coffee and they're like right by you. I mean, they're so close and you're like, what is happening?
And your dressage or jumping tickets cover it. So you don't have to pay extra for it. It's so interesting to watch. And they did have the cross country part of it and the 3-day eventing part of cross country on big screens as well. So if you didn't want to schlep all the way across, it was great. But it was just amazing horsemanship to watch these people with, you know, four horses.
So
going,
cool to see.
Going fast. So really,
really fast.
Yeah. And I saw a bunch of the jumping, not a ton, but, you know, I got standing room for some of the jumping and we did that actually at the last minute a bit. And really fun. I mean, some days were a little hotter, some days it rained, whatever. The eventing, the one part of dressage I didn't see because, and I do a fair amount of eventing judging, was the dressage for the eventing. Cause I mean, at some point you have seen so much dressage.
Yeah. It's, you want to walk around the town. Exactly. It's a beautiful town.
It's a really beautiful town. It's very close to Cologne, which has, you know, the cathedral there is a World Heritage site. And we did go to that and it's really spectacular. There's also an amazing contemporary art, modern art museum in Cologne, right next to the cathedral, which is also right next to the train station, which has one of the biggest collections of Picassos in the world. I mean, really a spectacularly good museum. So that's definitely a worthwhile thing to go see. Then, dressage. So if you're a fan of really beautiful horses and beautiful riding, it was so much fun. It was so much fun. I'm going to start with the juniors, actually.
Love it.
Because the juniors were all very close to each other in scoring. Like they scored in their normal test between like a 66.2 and a 71.
Yeah.
That is an achievable score for the juniors I know here in a CDI.
Yeah, absolutely.
And
so
they were good. They were absolutely good. And they were, I mean, very good horse, you know, very good, quiet, soft riding, accurate riding. These people know how to ride a circle and a, you know, but
important.
It wasn't unachievable. That's what I like. You could look at it and go, okay, my juniors and the juniors and young riders I see here could do that and hold their heads up on mostly on the horses they're riding. I mean, some of them not, but their skills are good enough and they need to the thing that kind of made these kids different slash better was the organization of the tests, not necessarily the riding skills, but the letter-to-letter accuracy and the strategy with which they rode the tests. So in the juniors, there's a half circle to half pass. And most of them cheated the time on the center line just that tiny bit longer so they could set up the half pass. Do you know, like the strategy of the test riding was really impressive. And you know, and some of the horses were fancy-ish, but not like, oh my God, someone spent $10 million for their child to ride, you know, at Aachen. I mean, they were good horses, well-trained, lovely, consistent connection, consistent connection and clean gates. So that was super fun to watch. And the small tour was super interesting. So we watched all the St. George and all the I-1 and plus the freestyles for that. And here was the most impressive part. The St. George was postponed by hours, many, many, many hours. I want to say it was originally scheduled for like, I'm going to make this up slightly, 2 PM. It started it was rescheduled to 6 PM.
Oh.
Or 4 PM.
Wow.
Then it went from 4, then it went to 6. It eventually started and stopped and ended about midnight.
That would be so hard.
So hard. And with thunder and lightning. So depending on when you happen to be going in the arena, it was either fine
or not,
or very hot, or literally thunder. Like, I do not know Kevin Komen at all, but he did what I would consider like one of the best, most kind and professional rides I've ever seen in the St. George. It literally, it was pouring rain. Then there is this huge crack of thunder and flash of lightning, like right next to each other. Like it shook the stadium.
Of course,
trusted him so much that it just kept going. And he just rode and rode accurately.
Wow.
I want to say fifth with like a 69, which is pretty by the way, the highest score was a 73, and that was Frederick Wandress on Quizmaster. I mean, so it's not like.
Right. But it wasn't crazy. Yeah.
It wasn't like, and that was in the worst circumstances I've pretty much ever seen anyone ride in.
Wow.
And he was so good, and the horse was so with him. And isn't that what it's supposed to be, that they are willing to give up their natural instincts to get out of Dodge, right?
Right.
And trust their rider enough to just happily with his little ears up in the pouring rain. It was so impressive. And of course, Ingrid Klimke rode, and she was so impressive too. So, you know, so Wandress won, Klimke got second. It was not a sucky class.
No, it's a very good class.
It was so nice to watch. And again, to watch the trust the horse had in the rider was
awesome.
Because it was really not good circumstances.
Yes, right. Which is always interesting when you hear like someone who was there, right? Like you look on the page and I think he was, let's see, you know, he was fifth.
Right.
But you don't even know the circumstances.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're horrifying. And again, like it should be a career defining ride. It was that kind of a good ride.
Wow.
I mean, do you know what I mean? Like it was just, anyway, it was lovely. And, you know, he didn't do that. I mean, it's not like he did that great the next day or whatever, but kind of who cares?
Right. Exactly. You just had that amazing experience, right?
Right. And you can see if you look at the results, there's quite a difference between the results the first day and for the St. George and the I-1, more of a difference than I think you would see if it hadn't been pouring rain and thundering and lightning the first day.
Right.
Okay. So that was great. And then I hadn't really inhabited. Oh, can I talk? Let's talk about one other thing before we go to the Grand Prix.
Sure.
They have quadrille. They are.
Oh, serious. They're so cool.
Those people are serious about quadrille.
Yes.
Well, it was the host, the paired country was Spain. So everyone had a Spanish theme, which was a little bit yawn boring because, you know, okay, whatever, lots of black wigs and, you know, but so, and, you know, a little too much castanet music, but fine. I mean, you know, if it hadn't been so many of them.
Right.
There were six of them all basically using the same type of music and the same type of costuming. But with that said, here's what I liked about them. So I need to put together a quadrille. So the horses didn't have to match, but the costumes were themed. Some of the choreography was genius. The choreographer, so the trainer/choreographer, has their own costume on that matches the costumes of the riders.
Oh. Yes,
and walks into the arena, gives the signal for the pre-music to start. There's kind of a pre-music, then they all salute, and then she gives she gives a second signal for the actual thing to start. So they kind of do a little pre-music warm-up. You know the way the people in the dance, the swimmers who do that kind of swimming together thing?
Yes.
They march out together, synchronized. Yeah. So it was kind of like that intro to synchronized swimming before they jump into the water. And then they all bow and then they functionally fit into our water, right?
And a lot of them are like clubs from Germany.
Yeah. Right? No, I think they're all clubs from Germany. I mean, it was just
local riding clubs. You
know, yeah. The horses were fancy. Yep. I mean, there was one fancy horse out of the 16 horses in it.
Yeah.
Match. They were fairly sound. And they, again, you know, it's not like it's easy. And these horses.
No, they have to qualify to get there.
The horses were super well behaved. The choreography was great. It wasn't just follow each other or go all together. There was a lot. They used a diamond shape a lot,
which was really
interesting. Anyway, I loved it. If you can find video of it.
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool to watch. And they're really serious. Some are amateurs. Some are kids. Yeah. It's all types of riders.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so anyway, I now need to get all of my people together to do quadrilles. So that's
the Grand Prix. Yes.
Now the Grand Prix. So then there's the 4-star and the 5-star.
Yes.
So the 4-star you do what you would normally do in a CDI, right? You ride the Grand Prix and then you choose whether you're riding in the special or the freestyle, right? The five-star, everyone rides the Grand Prix. The top, I forget, 30, I think.
Yes.
Ride the special. The top, I think it's 18, ride the freestyle.
Yeah.
So it kind of gets narrowed down and narrowed down and narrowed down. And, you know, they all ride better than, FYI, they all ride better than I do. Just you know, all the way up and down. The horses varied. And one of the things that I kind of liked was that the fanciest horses, I mean, you know, got nines on the extended trot or whatever, but didn't necessarily do the best, even with clean tests.
Interesting.
The horses that were, I would, in my uneducated opinion, more correct, maybe not as fancy, maybe didn't have like the extended, you know, like I don't know how to pronounce it, Jovian, the one Grace Helkson, right? Is spectacular.
Oh, but, yeah.
And, but it's, and, you know, it's not like it didn't do well. It was like ninth and whatever, but it's, and it was clean and happy in its work and all the stuff, but it's not, in some way for me, it's not truly collected. Does that make sense? Even though
Right. It was eighth versus, and, you know, he was eighth in the Kerr.
Yeah. And versus, by the way, Bluetooth, who is, I mean, my God, you wouldn't, you know, by the way, you wouldn't kick any of these horses out of your barn. Just saying. None of these get kicked out of bed. But with that said, I'll use Jovian as an example. Well, it's not a horse that anybody I know, any human being I know could ride. Like, it's huge. It's got ginormous gates. It's super, I mean, it didn't misbehave at all, right? But you just look at it going, well, I mean, okay, that's, humans can't ride that. Whereas some of the other ones you think, okay, maybe I couldn't ride it, but a very good rider could. And and they're engaged and they're softer and they're whatever. So, let's talk about Sonic Plus.
We have to.
So here, does he have the best canter in the world? Nope. Does he have the best walk in the world? Nope. Does he have the best trot in the world? Absolutely not. Is he the softest, most attentive? I mean, the Piaf Passage Tour is spectacular, right? And if you watch his freestyle online and you'll see it, it's almost exclusively Piaf Passage.
That's amazing.
It does almost nothing else. It does everything else once. And then it just, but I mean, it's trotting along with its little ears up with a rider with totally invisible aids. And so with a rider with totally invisible aids looking, you know, soft and lovely with, I mean, you know, could you criticize him for maybe his shoulders get, I don't know, a half an inch behind his hips on occasion? Okay.
But, yeah.
You know, yeah. And again, the extended trot, you know, you and I have seen and ridden horses with better extended trots. Who cares? The training is spectacular. The confidence this horse has, the softness the horse shows, is spectacular. It just sits around puttering along in this very correct thing like it's out on a picnic.
I love that.
And if I were to tell you, I mean, of the judges for the freestyle, three of them had Isabel first and two had him first. And the reason he won, the reason he beat her by actually a half percentage point.
Yeah.
Was
half
because,
percentage point in the curve.
Yeah. Was because one of my friends who was one of the judges scored him high enough. And I asked that friend, whose name is Peter Storr, why. He said, because I was crying by the end of it. And so were the rest of us. But was Isabel spectacular? Oh my God.
I bet. It looked amazing.
Difference. But look at her online. That horse is huge. It's ginormous. It has huge gates. It's super powerful, Wendy. And you could see this at the Olympics too. It's, by the way, it was better than at the Olympics. She's improved it. It's amazing.
Wow.
Right. I mean, all of it was amazing. And then we'll talk about the Americans in a second, who were also quite good, by the way.
Yeah.
But if you will see her half halt by jiggling her hands. I mean, jiggling is the wrong word. You see her use her arms to half halt, or at least her wrists to half halt almost every stride.
Wow.
Not because the horse is being disobedient, not because it's not on its hind legs, because it's so powerful.
Wow.
And I just think the gates would get bigger if I were to get with a less skilled rider.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's a goat. She's literally the greatest of all time.
Goat, right. And you have that sense that, that, and I'm going to mispronounce his name, but it's Justine Verboomen, that I have no, a friend of mine actually bought a horse, a Grand Prix horse from him before, who is also well-trained, but you don't have that sense of, oh my God, you could put him on anything and he's going to just get on it and ride it better than anyone else on the planet. He will probably ride it softer than anyone else on the planet or than a lot of people. But there are a couple of really soft riders, but it's not the same as Isabel where you just think, fine, give her anything. She can ride better than anyone on it. It's just
Oh my gosh. But
Wendy doesn't look easy.
No.
She doesn't.
Yeah.
Plus looked easy to ride.
That's
but again, cool. That's pretty good training, right?
Pretty cool. Yeah. I love it. Well, let's bring the Americans in because there was some scandal. I mean, there was a situation, wasn't there?
Well, I don't think it was a scandal, but there was.
No, scandal's wrong word. Sorry. Yeah, situation.
Yeah.
So, something we have to talk about.
So Kevin got eliminated in the Grand Prix special for blood in the mouth. I have no idea. I mean, and I guess by the time he exited, there wasn't blood in the mouth. And, you know, but
no one could see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the judge did get out of the booth with a white handkerchief and wiped the horse's mouth and I assume saw blood. I couldn't see it. And I'm going to give you a comparison. And again, there is a zero blood rule, whether you like it or not.
Yes.
It's not much of a blood rule. And I mean, it's horrible, right? It's horrible for the rider. The horse is clearly not in pain. I'm going to give you a sad kind of comparable, which was the amazing, amazing Maxima Bella at the end of her special or Grand Prix? Special, I think.
I think special, yes.
Special, yeah, because she was second in, she rode in the 4-star. Bleeding so you could see blood dripping. Like from the 14th row, you could really see blood dripping from her mouth. So she had clearly bitten her tongue, whatever. And her, I know. And her ride, which had been so amazing, amazing in Paris, wasn't the same level of soft. And I don't know if she bit her tongue because she was tense or she was tense because she'd bitten her tongue. I mean, who knows?
It's who knows,
right?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And we all stub our toe or bite something. Anyway, so, I mean, I understand that the Americans that we protested, but I don't know quite how you do that.
Right.
But I'll tell you, Ben Ebling got over 70% each time.
Yes.
Casey
Perry as well. I mean, Casey Perry had a great ride.
Yeah. And so, were they at the top of the thing? No, but everyone was, very good. And Kevin had such, he's so rocked it in the St. George in this way that if I were a horse owner, I would send every horse of mine to him, because it was so impressive that I was like, okay, he had his, as an audience member, even as a person who gives money to USCT.
Right.
I was like, okay, he's, he did this one impressive thing he didn't need to do for my watching purposes.
Sure.
He didn't need to do more because he had been so impressed.
I love that. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's what I mean. Definitely, they protested it, like you said, but the judge saw it and, there you go. So.
The judge saw it and he did. And again, it's not like I looked at the handkerchief.
Right, exactly.
But, so anyway, can I talk about two other things really, really, really fast?
Sure.
One of which is, gosh, those Germans. In the Grand Prix, and I want to say also in the freestyle. So in the Grand Prix, it's German, Zonic Plus, German, English, German, and then you get to Patrick Kittel, and then you get to this wonderful rider from Portugal, João Moreira. Anyway, who was also a soft, soft, beautiful rider.
I love it.
And Becky Moody on Jagerbomb.
Yes, she was great.
Yay. And Becky was fabulous in the Olympics. I would say was better here. That thing has the best passage on the planet in terms of in what I've been told is correct, it is engaged. it is off the ground. It, you know, it's not just moving its legs. It is powering off the ground. It also is a very, very, very powerful horse. And there was this one moment where you thought, oh, and now she's out.
Yeah, she had it all.
Like she missed a half halt for like this half a second. You think, oh, it may. And again, not like it was scared. Again, like Wendy, it's not like this is a horse who's tense, scared. I mean, by the way, she also came in, what was it? Fourth? Yeah. And the horse didn't halt.
Wow.
And I mean, it piaffed in the, you know, so it got, I don't forget what, a 3.5 or something.
Yeah. Oh,
generous.
Wow. Yeah.
And then ended up fourth because everything else was so good with a 75.7 because I just looked it up.
Wow. I mean,
there was really good riding.
Oh, it sounds like it. Well, Patty, are you going to the WAG next year?
Only if you take me.
I know. We'll talk about it. Well, as always, Patty, you're amazing. We love having you on and we love you being our roving reporter. It's so amazing. How can everybody find you online if they want to chat more with you about it?
There you go. You can email me at bailiwickhouse@gmail.com, B for boy, AILIWICKHOUSE at Gmail, or text me at 310-729-3365. Or I'm on Facebook as well, Patty, P-A-T-T-Y, Mayer, M-A-Y-E-R. And it's the one that says, you know, dressage trainer.
I love it. Well, Patty, thank you so much. And we'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you soon. Bye, all.
Keep flies in check with Chewy. From fly sprays and masks to sheets, boots, traps, and even feed through supplements. You'll find everything you need to keep your horse comfortable all season long. Shop trusted favorites like Ultra Shield, Cashel, and Simply Fly, plus tons of other top-rated brands you know and love. Whether you're protecting your horse in the pasture or keeping your barn a fly-free zone, Chewy makes it easy. Fast, free shipping on orders over $49 and all your go-to fly control essentials in one place. For a fly-free season, for the brands you trust, for fast delivery, there's Chewy. Shop now at chewy.com/equine.
Well, tonight I am so excited to have Jenny Carroll. She is the president and founder of the National Pony Cup on the show. Jenny, welcome.
Thank you for having me, Reese.
It has been years. You came on the show because you and I have known each other since you started, because you started around Lexington, Kentucky, and at the horse shows at the horse park. So I remember you as a wee peeper, which I am no longer a wee peeper. So welcomed back. And it's been years since you came on, and you have just grown leaps and bounds and have quite a movement now. So we're so pleased to have you.
Thank you.
Yes. Yeah. So Jenny, tell us a little bit about yourself and the start of the movement, which is now the National Pony Cup.
Well, we started in incorporated as a business in 2007, but our first show was in 2008 at the then Paxton Farm. We were there for 1 year, and then after that property was sold, we ended up going up to what is now the World Equestrian Center, but then was Roberts Arena. It was much smaller then, and we were there for 2 years. And then we went down to the horse park, and that's probably where I started seeing more of you. We were attached to existing shows at that time because I had a full-time job and 4 kids at home and, you know, 6 horses of varying types and kinds. And I, you know, just didn't have time to run my own show, but I would attach myself to existing shows and then go and bring my popcorn machine, set up my tent. I would bring welcome gifts for everybody at the show. We would pay for dinner for everyone. We'd bring our own awards. And slowly but surely, we started, you know, increasing members to our organization. We started having partner shows, which would be a show that would contain at least one pony test of choice within it and give out awards from our organization. We started year-end program where we would reward people all over the country, anyone who became a member from introductory level through Grand Prix. Also, recently, in the last couple of years, we've had the breeding year-end awards for horses or small horses and ponies that are going to breed shows around the country. And then we expanded up into Canada, too. And at some point, we just got to the point where we were leaning on the other shows too hard. We became at least half of the entries to the shows. And it was becoming more and more difficult for us to sort of, I just felt like we needed to go out on our own. So after COVID in year 2020, we did not have a show. But in 2021 is the first year we started doing our own standalone show.
Wow.
And the first one was in St. Louis. Well, the first two were in St. Louis. And those we filled to capacity, their facility. And then after that, then we've moved to the World Equestrian Center, where it's only 40 minutes from my house. So that makes it much easier for me.
100%
to move all of our things up into the whatever venue we're using. And so first year we had 8 rings, second year we had 9 rings, and this had 9 rings, but we had 10.5 rings worth of rides.
Incredible. Just incredible. Really, truly. And Jenny, because we were at a plate last year coming back from convention in Houston, and you were telling me, I mean, your background is a designer, right? Because your prizes are second to none. Like, they're amazing.
Yeah. So my background is I went to the University of Cincinnati Fashion Design School. But before that, I had gone to the School for the Creative and Performing Arts in Cincinnati. So I was a dancer and an art major. So I've always loved ballet and theater. And once I graduated from college, I didn't go into fashion design per se. I started working in theater up in New York. And so I worked in costume shops there as a cutter, draper, and a stitcher, and you know, so I made things for operas and musicals and ballet and, you know, commercials and movies and all kinds of things like that. And then when I moved back here to Cincinnati, I worked at the College Conservatory of Music for a while, and then I taught as an adjunct professor at DAAP in the Fashion Design Department, and I also had a business where I made bridal gowns and evening gowns and you know, dresses for, you know, grand occasions and things like that. So I've always had an interest in making things and the way things look. And I have a unique skill set, let us say.
Oh, unbelievable. Unbelievable. I was not able to come myself to the Pony Club this year, but just the prizes you give and just the layout. I mean, it was unbelievable. But before we go back to the show, how did you decide to get into small horses and ponies? Like, how did you decide to start the Pony Club?
Well, because I had never really, I always loved horses and I rode horses as a child and a teenager, but I never showed. I just enjoyed, you know, going in the woods and, you know, riding a horse and having a good time and things like that. And once my children got a little bit older, one of my daughters wanted to take riding lessons. And so we started doing that. And then slowly but surely, she became a little bit more serious. And then I realized she needed to have like proper lessons of some kind. And it just led from one thing to another, from her starting taking lessons to being interested in dressage. And I had, I guess, seen it on television and on the in the Olympics, but I never understood exactly what it was. And then it became very interesting to me. And so I started taking lessons too. And then pretty soon we were leasing horses and then buying horses. And then, but most of the animals that I could afford to buy or that I had access to weren't big warm bloods. They were mostly smaller horses. And so I had a Halflinger, I had an Azteca, I had a Connemara, I had, I did have one Hanoverian, I will say. But it was, most of my horses were being trained at the same speed that I was being trained. You know, I couldn't afford to buy anything that was, you know, trained beyond where I was learning. And I guess the same with my children. And we'd go to shows and, you know, I would spend money, you know, getting them lessons and going to clinics and, you know, going to schooling shows. And then eventually we started going to rated shows. But I really felt like we weren't taken very seriously, that a lot of times people would just comment on how cute the pony was or that had a pretty tail or and I just didn't seem like there was as much value placed on horses that weren't big warm bloods. And I just felt a little bit left out. And I felt sad that my kids also felt a little bit left out as well. And people would always seem to be talking about ponies in Europe and how they had such a wonderful breeding program there and how ponies there were so well trained and everything. And I thought, well, how come they just aren't trained here? How come there's all these ponies or people who have them and they don't seem to really, you know, be successful in the sport? I don't understand. And I don't know, I just felt like there was just this fundamental inequality. And I thought maybe I could do something about it. And I don't know what took hold of me. I don't know what kind of disease this is.
We don't know either, but welcome.
I just like saw it as like almost like I design a dress, you know, like I would do anything else. I just thought, like, what would a show look like that I would love to go to and that I would love to see my ponies and others succeed at? And what would that feel like? And how would I go about doing it? And so I just plodded away for the last 18 years. I've just been, you know, every year.
Thank you for your inspiration. I mean, it just shows that you can do anything. And I love ponies, and I love that they are being taken serious. Maybe for someone who's in Wisconsin, like myself, and has always wanted to compete at your Pony Cup, but for our listeners that may not know how to go about, I know you have a website, but do they have to have additional memberships? How do they qualify? How do I come next year? Maybe you could run us through that process.
Well, so you can become a member of the Pony Cup at any time. Our show season begins November 1st, this year, with November 1st, 2024, through October 31st of 2025. You go on our website and can walk through the steps there to become a small horse or a pony member. Ponies have to be measured using the USEF official pony measurement standards, that which would mean they have to go to a rated show, a USEFDF sanctioned show, and be formally measured with a TD present and a veterinarian. If they prefer to be in the small horse division, that is something that the Pony Cup administrates ourselves. a small horse is under 16 hands with shoes, round numbers. But there's no bottom to that. So in other words, you can get measured at the your convenience at your own barn by a practicing veterinarian, and you just have to have them sign off on a form that you print off from our website, and you need to have that form turned in to us by midnight on October 31st.
Okay, that's good.
We retroactively count all your scores back to the beginning of our season, even if you become a member in the middle of the season.
I love that.
And you can't, all of your scores will count no matter what level or so if you're doing, say, introductory level, there's an, within any given level, there's a 2-point spread for degree of difficulty. So I always say, like, training level, we add 1 point for training one, 1.5 for training two, and 2 points for training three. We take all your training level scores and we do a straight average. So we don't drop high or low scores. So if you have 6 scores, that's fine. If you have 20 scores, that's fine. Cool. But you have to have a minimum of 2 because we can't average one. Introductory level, the only level that gets any additional degree of difficulty is intro C, which has a canter circle, and we add 0.5 to that test. And you can see where how we do degree of difficulty. That's also listed on our website as well. For year end, we also compete national and FEI freestyle divisions too. So those are also weighted as well, depending on what level freestyle you're doing.
I love that. So Jenny, the Pony Cup has become a destination show, which is unbelievable. So tell us, how did that happen? Like, tell us more about what that means, because truly it's remarkable. So how'd you do that?
So I think what we do with the Pony Cup is that, we meet people where they are. That our show is a sort of put up or shut up show. You don't have to have qualifying scores to come. You can just decide that you want to come, and you can decide what level you would like to compete at. I mean, if you're not getting scores that are probably commensurate to being qualifying scores for regionals, there's a good chance you probably would not place or win in the divisions anymore. But it doesn't mean that you won't be coming and having a good time. I think we put a whole lot of emphasis on treating our customers with a lot of respect, and we make them feel that we see them and that we really appreciate that they're there and that we are excited to have them have a show put on just for them. And I guess I work very hard all year long just trying to create something that would delight people, you know, when they come to the show.
Absolutely.
I treat them as though they're coming to my home, you know, that things are organized and tidy and look like I cared, you know, that things match and that they're clean. And
Well, thank you for everything that you do for us. I mean, that really is amazing and makes me want to compete even more. Do you feel that you have fulfilled your vision, or is there more for the Pony Cup coming?
Well, I think we're always trying to expand and try new things and different things. I'd like to see Canada take off, and we've been getting more and more members in Canada. Canada has some of the same issues that the U.S. has, a very sort of east-west coast sort of situation. I'd like to see that grow. We have been getting more and more members every year. I haven't seen a slowdown at all. And many people who are new to dressage have found us, and many different breeds, specifically Arabians and Morgans. And We've had Mustangs, and I mean, we had, I think, something like 36 different breeds at the show this year.
Wow.
And how many states? People come from very long ways.
Yeah, I think we had 27 this year. The furthest afield was Colorado.
Wow.
And Florida, we had Vermont, we had Wisconsin, I'm trying to think of the other ones that were really far.
That's amazing.
But, you know, practically every state that, you know, touches Ohio, clearly. Lots of people.
Lots of people come.
Yeah, well, lots of people. Michigan, Pennsylvania, New York, New Jersey. We had South Carolina. We had Georgia, Mississippi.
Alabama. My gosh. Wow. I love it. Well, Jenny, you have special awards, and I've already instituted this in my barn because I'm like, is it at nine for wine or wine for a nine? Yeah. I mean, I'm like, this is great. I mean, that's the thing, is you have so many fun awards. And before we go, we have to talk about the lead line, because that was incredible. Well, from what I saw online, tell everybody about it, because you had a crowd, like it was insane. It was amazing.
Yeah. So it was really good. So one other thing I've done is, I've started making all of our own ribbons. So
they're stunning, by the way.
That way I can control the cost, but then I can really have us have something unique and different. And one of the things that I made was a pony face ribbon.
Oh.
Made like 25 of these ribbons that looked like ponies. They had we had a cowboy one, and we had one with glasses, and we had one with a mustache, and we had unicorn ones, and you know, they were all different and unique. So those were part of the lead line. And we decided this year, people have been asking for a while, but it seemed like a good time to introduce that back into the fold. And what was really cool this year was we had a Chincoteague pony that came that was a direct descendant of Misty.
That was my favorite book.
Had been DNA tested. And so we got the Misty of Chincoteague books, and Chip, the ancestor, not ancestor,
descendant?
Yes, descendant, yes, thank you, of Misty. Stamped his footprint in each one.
Stop it.
And signed
it. I want that.
all the kids got one of those, and then they got to pick whichever pony face ribbon they wanted. And we had like 10 different kids come in, and the bleachers were literally filled.
It was
with
amazing.
People watching and cheering for them. And then afterwards, because we had 9.5 hours of freestyles at the show, we took all of the pony freestyles and we ran those after the lead line class.
So
and
cool.
It was just really fun to have everybody just enthusiastic and cheering for everybody. And, you know, you just don't get that kind of atmosphere normally at a dressage show. You usually have like 2 or 3 people watching.
Right.
And everybody's being very quiet and nobody's making any noise. And that was not the case for that Friday evening. That was really fun. Yeah. And that was fun. And then
it looked amazing. Yeah,
we had a really good time.
Yeah.
And I got to meet so many people. That's what I like, I think, the most, is I like to walk through all the barns and say hi to everybody and see where they're from. And there were so many people at the show where this was their very first time ever coming to a dressage show.
Yeah.
Or even trying dressage. But they thought this monster truck show was the one they wanted to be at, because they mm-hmm. felt like it would be welcoming to them and it would be okay. And Karen and I spend Karen Shaw, who works with me tirelessly on the Pony Cup, you know, all year long we answer people's questions. People call us and they don't understand what they need to do, and we explain how they have to, you know, become members of USEF and USDF and then the Pony Cup, and what paperwork they need and how to fill it out and, you know, where to send things. And, you know, it's so complicated.
Yeah.
I think we try to make it as easy as possible for people to enjoy the sport.
Yeah, it's really cool. Well, again, thank you for your time. I know you're already getting ready for next year, which is amazing. So once again, how can people find you online, find the information about the Pony Cup and how to be a member, et cetera? How do they do that?
Yeah, so they go to our website, dressageponycup.com. And then our Facebook page is National Dressage Pony Cup. And they can call me or they can call Karen. I'm Jenny at dressageponycup.com and Karen is Karen at dressageponycup.com. And they can, you know, just get in contact with us, ask questions, and, you know, anybody who's interested in coming to the show next year or finding out a little bit more about how to be a partner show or year-end awards, it's not too late for this year if you have a pony or a small horse and you want to still do that.
Thank you so much, Jenny.
You're welcome.
Recharge your training program with Equestrian Plus. Equestrian Plus brings together the top riders, trainers, and professionals onto one video platform. Watch over 5,000 how-to training videos, clinic and event footage, exclusive training sessions, and more, featuring top experts including 5-time dressage Olympian Stefan Peters, International Grand Prix dressage competitor Anna Baffini, Olympic dressage team bronze medalist Laura Graves, and many more. Join Equestrian Plus now and use promo code HRN15 for 15% off your first month. Visit equestrianplus.com to subscribe.
Well, tonight we are so happy to have Jessica Nillis. She is an assistant trainer at Fireside Farm and an FEI rider and competitor. She's a doctor of physical therapy and board certified orthopedic clinical specialist through the American Board of Physical Therapists Specialties. She's also a fellow of the American Academy of Orthopedic Manual Physical Therapists. And girl, I need to talk to you. So welcome to the show, Jessica.
Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
Well, we really were just actually chatting right in the intro and I was like telling you all of my woes and I've already booked in space in Wellington. So
yes, which is wonderful.
But it's true. I mean, Megan and I are both in our 40s. Megan's younger than me and cuter, but you know, I mean, I wish we were just laughing about this, but there's really something to be said about it. Like, I wish that I would have worked with someone like you or had some advice from someone like you when I was younger. I think I would have protected my body better and I wouldn't be in with a position I'm in now as a mid-aged professional of having some hip pain and knee pain and all the pains. So, you know, what are some advice you can give to riders of sort of all ages?
You know, one thing I often think about is that we ask our horses to perform and we try to give them as much therapy and help and things in particular to help them be symmetrical when we perform right versus left, bending, all of that. And I feel like we just don't do enough for our own bodies. And we're a team up there. So we really have to be able to perform together. And so a lot of what I encourage people to do is, if you're feeling good and active, sometimes just getting a little bit of an evaluation from a therapist or a massage therapist, somebody like that, to really look at how symmetrical you are, if you're weak in certain areas or strong in certain areas, and then help kind of promote a program for you to follow through with that. And a lot of that can be going to the gym on your own or doing certain warm-ups before you ride, but really just kind of taking an honest look at your own body, how you function, and kind of helping be as symmetrical as possible.
And I was reading into what you guys offer. Is that included in a rider assessment? Could you potentially walk us through if I've contacted you and it's our first time we're meeting, do you do a rider assessment and what should I expect?
Yeah. So if you just come to me to do a physical therapy session, often I ask you what your trainer's telling you when you're riding or somebody who's teaching you lessons, what are common, mm-hmm. common comments that they're making or corrections they're making. And then I often really encourage people to bring some videos of their riding. So I can actually mm-hmm. see their position in the saddle, how the horse is going. Those types of things are really helpful to me. And then I kind of take a step back away from watching what's in the saddle and really look at you as a whole. So how you're moving, where you're strong, where you're weak, where you're tight, and kind of combine all that information together. I do a lot of hands-on treatment with people because I find a lot of times riders' bodies need a little help, either with mobility in the joints or tightness in the muscles, things like that. So to be able to get in there and really affect some change in the body. And then I typically walk people through sometimes just re-educating how to work a certain body part that maybe has shut down or isn't working right. And I try to give them some home exercise programs so they can carry through with that.
The muscle shutting down, that is something I like didn't know about that. And then, you know, I've had some hip pain and problems recently, and I did not know that was like a thing. Can you tell me about that? Because talking for me, not even a friend.
Yes. So sometimes it can be a few different things. Sometimes just having pain in the body, the body will actually kind of shut that muscle down and not have it fire as much. And the problem is that we all try, especially as equestrians, especially as often very type A personalities, we all try really hard to do the right thing and get things working well. And our body typically compensates for that. And so a muscle shuts down because of a injury or pain, something like that. And our body starts to compensate and it becomes kind of this bigger and bigger compensation where we get really out of balance. The other thing that I often talk about is that most of our joints have multiple sides, right? So our hip flexes and extends, it adducts and abducts out to the side. And if one side is really tight and overactive, our body actually shuts down the other side because it doesn't want to fight itself. And so finding those imbalances where maybe you're really tight on one side of a joint and really weak and loose on the other side and trying to help those can be really helpful in the saddle as well.
Hmm. Do you only work with dressage riders or do you work with eventers? Western.
All types of riders. Yep. Because you really do have to look at them a little bit differently because obviously positions are a little different. What you're looking for in the saddle is a little bit of a difference. But all riders, I typically tend to help. And that's why a lot of times seeing videos of what they're doing in the saddle is really, really helpful before I treat them.
Yeah.
And do you see patterns like, take for instance, dressage riders? I know we're all individual, but do you see common problems amongst us dressage riders?
Yes, I actually do. So there's kind of three patterns I often see in people. And it just depends a little bit how you're made, a little bit what injuries you've maybe had in the past. Some riders are just incredibly tight everywhere. And I'm sure we all know somebody like that, right? That's very stiff.
Like me.
Doesn't really move a whole lot in the saddle. And those people can be really helped with some joint mobilizations and some massage. And then a lot of times stretching and mobility type exercises. There's also people who are just really loosey-goosey in the saddle. So just really kind of low tone in their body. They have a hard time kind of holding their core or holding really stable. Those people really respond well to more exercise, kind of brain body connection of where we want those muscles to turn on. And then gaining some confidence in holding those muscles while we ride. Those are probably actually the two less common that I see. The third type I often see with people are that one side of their body is a lot tighter and stronger, and one side of their body is a little weaker and looser. And those are the people you tend to see collapsing in the saddle to one side. Those are the people who complain that flying changes one direction are really easy and flying changes the other direction, that leg just doesn't work very well. And so those people, there are a combination, right? I need to loosen up and gain mobility on one side, and we need to strengthen and kind of facilitate that brain-body connection on the other side. And that is a really common pattern I see with people.
That makes sense. That really does. And one of the things that I've seen too, and maybe it's because I do work with a lot of sort of 20-year-olds or and event riders too. And I've done it too, where, you know, you have an injury and your first thing is to want to get back in the saddle. Like how quickly can I get? Right. And now that I'm 45, I'm like, oh, I really should have taken another week off and done more PT. Or can you talk a little bit about that? Because I made that mistake and I'm trying, like, I'm on a mission now to all my 20-year-olds. I'm like, please, please, please don't just rush to get back in the saddle and not rehab yourself properly. Cause, oh, yes. It's a problem.
Yes.
I completely agree. The same way I like to push. And often what I'll tell myself is, what would you tell somebody else, right? Or what would you tell them if a horse was injured and injured a tendon, even lightly? Would you just push them back to work, or would you do a slow rehab program back?
Right, exactly.
So I often, if I can take it out of my own brain and put it what I would suggest for somebody else, that's really helpful. But the other piece of that is, and this is where the Fireside Farm fit. And I know you guys talked to Patty in an earlier session about strengthening and being in the gym and being a strong rider, is that having that strength and stability and having, again, that brain-body connection that you're making, you know what muscles you're making work and you're activating them, really gives our body a lot of resilience. And so we're in a field that's really hard on our body between caring for horses and working with horses and riding horses. And so anything that can gain us a little more resilience, anything that can help us recover faster is really important. And so that gym, that strengthening, that nutrition, that hydration are all pieces that I think as riders, we don't always take that seriously, but are really serious.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I love it. I love it. Well, I'm already excited about my session. I'm like, can it be January? No.
Yeah. I will be in Florida. So anybody coming, come see me.
I'll be sitting outside her office. No, I love that. No, it's really important. And I just, again, I it's kind of a mission in my world now, because I just wish somebody had told me a little bit. I know I was told, but I'm going to keep telling people so they listen. But I think that's so important. This is all part of writing and things that now there's so many more people like yourself and like Patty who are writers and who understand and, you know, can help. And those resources weren't necessarily out there when we were coming up. And so I think it's really cool. So how can we find you online? And can you give us all your information?
Of course. Yes. So I work at Fireside Farm, which is in Salem, Wisconsin. I work an assistant trainer there, so I ride and teach some there, but then I treat quite a bit there as well. So the information, if you look up Fireside Farm, the information is there. I can certainly give you guys a link to maybe post in the video as well with my phone number. Easiest to probably text me and set up a session for an evaluation and then some follow-up treatment. We can also do a little bit over the video. Sometimes I work with people like that. Obviously, you don't get the hands-on treatment that I can give, but we can start to look at some symmetry and those types of things. Fireside Farm Fit also has a YouTube page that's put up. So all our videos and our shorts are there. So remember, a lot of things that we do with the horses, like warming them up and cooling them down, are things we often forget for riders. And so I promote a lot of kind of the warm-up type exercises, things you can do right in the barn in the tack room before you get on, just to gain the mobility or the strength that you do. So check out the YouTube page as well, just to look at some of those shorts or videos and kind of see what we might recommend as well.
I love that. Well, thank you so much for your time tonight.
Of course. I love it. Keep going. You guys are awesome when I watch you guys.
Thank you. Well, Megan, it is a new book club book time, and it's an awesome one, right? Drum roll, please.
33 Strength and Fitness Workouts for Horses by Jack Blue. I'm pretty excited to start reading it. Have you started?
I have not read this one. Jack is awesome. She's come on before. She's done the book club before with a different book. Ooh. And she's amazing. So super thrilled. She did 101 dressage exercises that is still literally, it's like the book I grab. Like if I need some inspiration and I'm going for a lesson, I'm like, let me leaf through. So she is amazing. And I think we're all going to really enjoy her. So grab your book, Trafalgar Square, horseandriderbooks.com. And get reading. This is a good one. This is one that you can star, and it's kind of like a binder, and so it's really cool. So I think you all are going to enjoy it. And as always, you can find our show notes and links to today's guests on our page at horseradionetwork.com. Just search Dressage Radio Show. Like us on Facebook, just search Dressage Radio Show. My website is maplecrestfarmky.com, and my email is reese@horseradionetwork.com.
And my website is lindenhoff.com. And my email is lindenhoffllc@gmail.com. We'd like to thank our friends and show sponsors, Kentucky Performance Products and Chewy. If you'd like to support our show and the Horse Radio Network, you can do that through the auditor program found at horseradionetwork.com. Keep on kicking on until the next show. Talk to you soon.